How does the event of the future look like? A question every event organizer who is involved in innovation asks. The answer we don't have. However, Jasper Roos reveals the secret of innovation, and that is humor. Hi Jasper, welcome to our studio. If you were an event organizer, how would you do things differently?
Well, of course, it would be a challenge for me to be an event organizer, but but if I would do that, of course, I would create like a beautiful experience, a beautiful experience in which clients feel at home and the speakers feel at home. But
no, there's the first but.
There's the first but. I wouldn't make it perfect. I would keep that perfectness disease out of it, and I would create some interventions in which people would be like, "Oh my God, this is really happening."
And like what, for example?
Well, imagine that you would have that you remove the red carpet and you change it for a small part in a sandbox. And people would have to jump over that.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether it's a good idea, but just insurance-wise or whatsoever.
They wouldn't expect it.
Exactly. And they wouldn't expect it, and they probably would be paying more attention to the red carpet elsewhere. Could also be, for example, that you create stickers for the organization in which people would get stickers in which say, like, this is not an event.
Okay.
In which people say, this is not the event. So what's happening? Yeah. So I would be interested as such to create, so apart from a beautiful experience, I would not try to make it perfect. Because that's what I see at a lot of events that I don't remember. The only thing I do remember about them, that they were perfect. That everything was completely solidified. Every speaker was on time. And so me as a person, I prefer to have like an imperfect experience. But so I can dream about that, so I can live that. And so this includes for me like adding a lot of humor elements, whether it's like stickers, fuck up nights.
Fuck up nights?
Yeah, fuck up nights is a nice phenomenon. Sorry for the former French.
We do a beep over it.
Beep, fuck up, beep. Right. So that's a concept originating from Mexico.
Yeah.
And so what you usually have at any conference or any company, say, what was the best success of this year? And yes, we made it. Yes, we can. Which is important. Yeah. However, so when there's a winner, there's always a loser. And usually the losers don't get that kind of respect or attention. And so a fuck-up night, and you could do this all kind of different variations, focuses on like, so, okay, some may have won, but other ones may have failed while trying to reach that goal. And is that wrong? No, it's not wrong, because it's very human that we make mistakes every now and then. So let's cherish this. Let's create some brilliant failures, and let's share these with each other. So the funny thing what happens, so when you do this, and of course you need to pour in some alcohol at times or like that.
That helps, because I just wanted to ask, are people willing to tell about their failures?
Surprisingly, yes. Because you may not get everybody in the group to do that, but likely 70 to 80% are willing to do that. So what we do when we organize a fuck-up night is that first of all, we give some examples ourselves. And share, like, okay, these are the rules of a fuck-up night. So share, be open, we will not record it, we will not video it, we will not... So you can just share it with your colleagues. And so these are some examples. Like, and many people in the end have examples like, okay, I was supposed to reply to my... or to forward it to my colleagues, and by accident I replied it to my client. Yep. In which I said, like, oh, this customer is such a... beep. And people have these kind of stories.
Yeah, everybody has.
Everybody has. And so it's fun itself to do that. And so based upon that, so people start to laugh. Like, oh my God, I had this story on what happened. So we recently did a fuck-up night in Germany in which the CEO told them how he scared away investors when he was still young, starting the company. After his sharing of his story, people came to him like, oh my God, I didn't know this about you. You're so cool. you're so cool. And so he was proud. Yeah. Because like, yes, of course I am. And I try to do my things best. But apparently he has never found a way to share also his vulnerability. So he has always had issues of apparently doing that.
But Jasper, to be really honest, when I invited you to come over to talk about innovation, I thought we would talk about making things perfect. Like, for example, Apple is innovating with the iPhone, making it more smooth, making it better and better. And now we're talking about failures, imperfections. And
I think for over the last decade, we've been in search for excellence, search for perfection, because technology makes our lives easier. So, and what you see in innovation, last decade has been focusing a lot on perfection, and now you see a shift happening. It was due to the crisis, due to new business models arriving, also that people are realizing that being perfect is very lonely. It's very lonely at the top, if you're perfect. So you rather get down a bit with all the other imperfectionists and then have a bit more laughs. So I believe more as innovation model in trying to experiment, to dare and to try. So one of the tools I mainly use for that, of course, we use Agile, we use Lean, we work with startups, is that we use humor. Humor as
and how important is that to create space for innovation?
I think it's pivotal for creating an innovation culture. So we've done lots of research on that. For example, how people value humor for in personal life and in business life. We've done lots of experiments on asking, like, so if you would add humor to your CV, what would change? And in the end, no, it's a very funny story. So when you, for example, in a job ad, as and you add humor in your job ad, you get twice as many applicants as without.
Is this for real?
Yes, it's for reals. And you see this happening. So when you add words like humor or as playfulness or fun, when you deliberately start to input that, then people start to connect to that. So what you see is that humor, usually when you do it with a smile and with a wink and just giving them some feedback in a different way, that people experience it totally different. And that people feel much more relaxed, because again, this is what humor does. So people feel more relaxed because they laugh, because they joke around it. And so they're more receptive to change. When you're more receptive to change, you get more creative. You get more creative, you get more innovative.
But with provocation, how far can you go? Because at some point, it's getting offensive.
Yes. So the provocation is a central theme in creativity. Same like copycatting. So copying. So people think when they talk about innovation, about creativity, it should be like this light bulb idea. Boom! Something came out of my head. And technically, how creativity and innovation works, two of the central themes is that, for example, artists learn to copy. That's taboo in organization to copy, but technically how an artist learns to draw, for example, to learn to draw from the big artist. Second is provocation, because it makes you create new patterns. So an Irishman and an Englishman man walk into a bar, and then something strangely happens. And
then we all laugh.
And that's provocation. So we have a normal situation, and something strangely happens. Strange happens, and then people start, oh my God, I didn't realize that. And so they laugh about the joke, because in this case it's a joke. But you can do this in your organization as well. And to me, provocation is a central theme of what I like to do. Coming back to your question, so how far could you go? Well, the funny thing is, like, most organizations don't even dare to get out of the building. Don't even dare to play with this, because they're afraid that HR, compliance, or legal, heaven forbids, which other department says it's not allowed to. The funny thing is that people like it. And the funny thing is that when you do, and of course you need to define within the organization or the event how far you can go. So you need to, of course, pay close attention. To give you one example, for one of the largest telecom companies in the world, we've been creating stickers to enhance the message of innovation.
Stickers for adults.
Stickers for adults, yes. And these are like drawn stickers, like exemplifying some innovation items, like don't meet too much, go to innovate. Like one of the diseases in a lot of companies, they're meeting all the time, so we have no time to innovate. So we created stickers like don't meet too much, go innovate. And for example, we also created a sticker for a coffin, people when they are dead, and we create like you can always think outside of the inside the box. And you can imagine that corporate communications were not too happy with several of those stickers.
No, that's not how they are used to communicate.
Exactly, because it's an American-based company, so they're very strict on that. So they said you cannot use them; less provocative. At a big innovation event, a couple of months later, we got approval from the organization that we could display all those stickers, because we just wanted to see which one did you like best. So we had a competition, which was the most funny or ugly whatsoever sticker. The good news was for us is that people, all the stickers that I had never seen, because they were not allowed to be seen, they were the most provocative, they loved best. And because they said, like, I know it's provocative, but it helps me to think, it helps me to change my mind, and it helps me just to contemplate on what's happening. So the funny thing is, so to me, as a provocation, you should, of course, you should connect it to the local culture. So that's why, for example, we always take the local culture as a centerpiece. Mm-hmm. Let's say, so what is going on and what's not going on? And with what's not going on, can we change it a bit? Can we provoke that? There's a dialogue on that. And again, so what I see, there's a need from people, a need for whether it's at events or in companies, to have something like a surprise. And that they can say like, okay, this is something that I remember.
Yeah.
And what we see in nowadays world is a lot of perfection happening, a lot of perfect events, perfect on these companies,
mm-hmm.
where everybody says, hi, how are you? Yes, I'm fine. Fine, you as well. Oh, perfect. Okay, bye, bye.
Yeah, that's not bringing us anywhere.
And nobody remembers.
Yeah.
And my quest for life, or just at events, or when I do a speech, is that people will remember. And likely some people will not like it, because they will say, like, oh my God, this Jasper, he's
too much.
He's too much. But on the other hand, I see a lot of people then saying, this was awesome.
Yeah.
So the and this was awesome because I remember it. And I rather have, like, for any event that from... Of course, you don't want to have from a scale to 1 to 10 like all kind of ones, as the worst presentation ever. But usually, I prefer to have maybe then some sixes. People say, okay, the content was okay, but it was a bit annoying. But then I would like to have 80% saying I gave it a 10 or an A in English terms, because it was the best one I ever heard. And what I see is that organizations now more or less try to like go for a 6 or 7 as such, because they're afraid to do that.
That's safe.
That's safe. It's still, you can...
Because you won't remember it.
At least, I would say most people don't remember that.
Okay, Jasper, thank you very much for coming over. And you at home, thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next week.